Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Just thank God that you're in church this morning. Thank God that you're alive. Thank God that you're in health. Thank you that you have the opportunity to hear the word of life this morning. Just thank him. That's all you need to do. Just thank him. Father in heaven, we thank you. Because we are in your presence. The Bible says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. So I speak unto every cause of sorrow in any heart this morning. I rebuke every cause of sorrow in the name of Jesus. Let the joy of the Lord overflow into our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us the word of God. Where there has been blindness and darkness, let light come in. Where there has been foolishness, let wisdom come in. We ask that your word will come forth like a hammer that will break every rock of bondage in the name of Jesus. That anointed word, let it come forth this morning and set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. This morning I'm going to talk on a very interesting topic. Titled what? The love of God. Hallelujah. You see, the whole of creation, the whole of history, everything that is happening, yeah, is all centered around the love of God. If the love of God were to be removed, everything else collapses. Amen. I said, if the love of God were to be removed, you can't take the next breath. You can't. Amen. So that's the problem. When people, for example, say that, you know, they don't believe in God and they don't want to have anything to do with God, they are making a mistake. They don't understand that if God allows you not to have anything to do with him, you are immediately in hell. Because when you remove the love of God, all that is left is darkness and death and decay and suffering. It is the love of God, the goodness of God, that is the overflow of that goodness that provides anything good you like or enjoy right now. For example, some people like to have an holiday by the seaside. Anybody like to have an holiday by the seaside? Yes? Who made the sea? God. Who made the sun? Anybody like to sit in the sunshine? Who made the sun? God. It's the love of God that provides anything good that you enjoy today. We could never make it without the love of God. Amen. Very important topic. Open your Bible to John chapter 3. We read that. We'll go through the two places we've read for our text today. John chapter 3. Today we'll be breaking down the word like we normally do. Because I found that there's something I understood some time ago. The parable of the sower. And it says that the seed that fell by the wayside are those who heard the word of God but did not understand it. And then the devil came and stole the word. So they stand no chance. And that's why I am very, very passionate about you understanding the word. Not just hearing it, but understanding. Because if you don't understand it, then it's like dead on arrival. You can't do anything with it. Amen. So today we will break down this familiar place, and I believe that God will give us understanding. John chapter 3, let's start from verse 14. Many people know John 3:16. Let's start from verse 14 and read to the verse 21. So again, if you like to read, let me know and I'll pass you the microphone. John chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Yes, we would like to read. Yes, Sister Frida?
From 14 to 21. Okay, this is a New Living Translation. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody have King James or New King James Version? I'd just like you to read for me verse 21. Just gives another shade of meaning to verse 21. John 3:21. Anyone have King James or New King James? John 3:21.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent. 21. But he that doth walk and doth truth cometh to the light, that he that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God.
Yes. So I just want to say, you know, if you read verse 21 in New Living, it says, he that does what is right. And that's okay, that's a good translation. But I think a deeper translation is, he that does truth. Now, you may say, what's the difference between doing truth and doing what is right? Doing truth is deeper. Yeah? Sometimes you may judge what is right just by what you see. Yeah? By the action, not the heart. But he that does truth is from the heart. Meaning that if you are genuinely seeking, if your heart is true towards God, when you see light, you will go towards light. You see what I mean? When your heart is true and you see light, you will not prefer darkness to what? To light. You see what I mean? A true seeker will find God. I said it again. Let me say it again. A true seeker will find God. Now, I'm not just talking about salvation. In any part of your life, when you are truly open and truly seeking, yeah, you will find God in that part of your life, and it will make a difference. The problem usually is that in some parts of our life, we are holding on ever so tightly to what we want or what we believe. And we're not really open to hear anything else that God wants to say. You understand? And that's why we don't find God in that part, because we are not doing the truth in that part. We have become addicted to what we want or what we believe. So when light itself presents itself, you just draw away and say, okay, fine. I know that's right, but I would rather just keep enjoying, you know, who I am or what I am. Are you with me? He that does truth, when you are open, when your heart is sincere, and when you are seeking, you will find God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because God is not taking a new action to find you. He's already reached out to you. Hallelujah. I will try to make you people understand that. You see, when you talk about God loving you, yeah, he loves you, but so does he love the other person. So does he love the other person. The love of God is available to all. So the love of God is not the problem. It's how we receive it. Are you with me? The grace of God is available to all. The grace of God is not the problem. It's how we receive it. Hallelujah. And when our heart is open, when our heart is ready, hallelujah, please turn to your neighbor, say, make your heart ready. He said, let your heart be ready. Be open. Hallelujah. keep trying to reassure people and say, God is not the one who is trying to steal your life away. God is the one who is trying to make your life better. There is nothing you have today and nothing you are today that can compare to what God desires for you and where God wants to take you. The Bible already defines that the person that is trying to steal your life away is called the thief. Of course you know that. The thief steals. And the Bible says that the thief, which is the devil, he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's the one who wants to take your life away. And anything he offers you, even if it looks good, the end point is still that he wants to what? Cheat you and remove something from your life. Hallelujah. Be open to God. Hallelujah. Please turn to your neighbor. You're going to say that. Tell them, say, be open to God. Be open to what God is telling you. Hallelujah. Someone said, he said, whenever God speaks to you, yeah, you should pay extra attention. Because God is giving you inside information that will help you move forward. Anytime that God is speaking to you, he's giving you some privileged information that will move your life forward. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. He said, God loved the world so much, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Look at 17. It said, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Let me explain 17 to you. You know why God sent his son into the world not to judge the world? Because the world is already judged. You see, without Jesus, yeah, without Jesus, the world is on its way to hell. Hello? I said, without Jesus, the world is already judged. So that's why when Jesus came, he wasn't coming to judge the world, because the world is already what? Judged. You know, I just want to destroy a mindset here. You know, if you are here and you think Jesus wants to take something away from your life, you think, oh, if I draw close to God, my life will just, the quality of my life will go low. It's a lie. It's the biggest lie of hell. Jesus has come to give you life. Are you with me? He has come to give you what you do not have. And how long will you resist him? Because without you, you can't make it. He's the only light. There's no other light. I said he's the only light. So every time I go around and I look at different cultures, different nations, different people, one thing I see is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is there. You know, whether you're from Africa or South America, you know, or America or Europe, the gospel is there. You know, and the gospel is not being spread by war. You know, like if you don't believe, we'll kill you. No. The gospel is spread by preaching. Hallelujah. It's not a gospel of force. It's a gospel of love. Hallelujah. And everywhere the gospel is preached, lives are transformed. You know, I'm reading the autobiography of Ryan Bonke, one of the greatest evangelists of our time. He's still alive. He started from South Africa, you know, and he ministered all around all the southern countries. You know, he was talking about, you know, even when he went when South Africa Soweto, then under apartheid was a terrible place. You know, you can't go there at night, you know. And how the, you know, God gave him a strategy to, you know, spread the gospel, and how lives started getting transformed. And because when lives are transformed through the gospel, even the community becomes what? Transformed. Yeah? Even the social structures become what? Transformed. That is the power of the gospel of Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. There is no other light. Amen. And let me tell you something. That gospel is not just about when you come to Christ. Every day you live as a Christian, you are experiencing the gospel. You know why? Let me explain to you. Because every day you live as a Christian, God is revealing himself to you. And every part of your life that you have a new revelation of God, you have a new opportunity to walk in victory in that part of your life. Amen. I mean, for example, like the day I began to have a deeper revelation of healing and health, I made up my mind that I have signed up. You know what? I signed it up that I want to live in continuous health. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have attacks, but that I've signed it and I've made the choice. That once I have the revelation that is provided for, I made the choice. I'm going to live in health. Hallelujah. Immediately I made that decision, I decided that I don't want to enjoy any sympathy for sickness. You know, sometimes when you are sick, you know, or if you are down, you know, people sympathize and empathize with you. You know, it just makes you feel better, isn't it? Yeah? And sometimes, you know, when your life is busy, my life is busy and so is the life of my wife, you know, you just sometimes feel like, oh, I just wish even if I was sick, I just lie down. Someone else will attend to me. Yeah? But what you don't understand is that anytime you are sick, this person attending to you, you are overloading them. Yeah? Do you get me? Yeah? That's not God's perfect will. God's perfect will is that you are in health and that they're in health, and so that you can function maximally, yeah, for what He wants you to do. Are you with me? But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that once you find out that God has provided something for you, you can sign up to it. Yeah? Every part of your life that you experience the gospel, your life changes for the better. Amen. Anything in your life that you are doing but they don't want to do is a bondage. Let's say that again. As a believer, anything in your life that you are doing but in your heart you don't want to do it, it's like a bondage. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's for believers. If you're not a believer, that statement does not apply to you. It's the other way. Okay? Anything you are in your life that you are doing but you know in your heart that you don't want to do this thing. You just find yourself from time to time doing it. It's like a bondage. You understand? And the reason why you don't want to do it is because you have the life of God in you. Are you with me? But every time you get a deeper revelation of the gospel. Now, when I say the gospel, I'm talking about the entire thing. The word of God. You know? This is the gospel. Every time God reveals himself, it's good news. Eh? Every time God reveals himself is good news. And every time you have a deeper revelation of the word, you have a chance to break a bondage. Hallelujah. And the more the gospel of Jesus Christ dominates your life, the freer you become. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I find that in my life that the greatest freedom I've had is the freedom to love other people. It can be very free. It's bondage. Yeah? When you are living in unforgiveness. You are bound by the people you can't forgive. Do you understand? Okay, let's put it this way. Yeah? You know, Fernandez, my brother, we work together for some time, and then something happens. You know, we have a clash, whether a clash of opinion or whatever. Yeah? Now, if care is not taken, Satan will come and try to destroy a relationship. You understand? And then you're bitter, the other person is bitter. You know, and you just carry that as a load on your head. It's not freedom, it's bondage. The greatest freedom is that, you know, I mean, for me as a husband, the greatest freedom is that occasionally, so I'm pastor, yeah, I'm pastor, but occasionally there will be nights that I disagree with my wife. You know why we just disagree sometimes? We're not the same spirit. She has her own spirit, I have my own spirit. She has her own body, I have my own body. We're not even the same height. We don't have the same shoe size. You know? So, you know, we can't always agree. Are you with me? And there will be some things that she feels very strongly about because she's who she is, you know. She didn't come from my mother's womb. She was not trained exactly the same way I'm trained. She will feel strong about some things. I'll feel strong about some things. Now, when those things clash, there will be what? Oh my, I was not looking for that. I was looking for disagreement. They said what? And you know the funniest thing? I could hear Sister Chipo saying the same thing. Yeah, I know. Three people agreed together. You know? But you know, the freedom we have is that, the freedom I have as a believer is that we can have that disagreement at night, and the next morning, I wake up, and I love her. In fact, it doesn't have to be next morning. Usually she goes to bed earlier than me. By the time I'm going to bed, I'm praying over her and say, God bless you. I love you. That's freedom. And it only comes from the love of God. Hallelujah. It only comes from the light of the gospel. The gospel is light. Hallelujah. The gospel is light. All of that God try to force people, yeah, to submit to them. But God doesn't force you to submit to him. God presents himself to you. Yeah? And he wants you to respond back because you have experienced his love. Are you with me? God presents himself and he wants you to voluntarily choose him and his ways because you have seen that that way is love. Hallelujah. That is how God reaches out. Hallelujah. That is how God reaches out. It's the love of God. Hallelujah. It says, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. We can unpack that. You know, we take another day to unpack that. Because I like to see it this way. I like to see that Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God. He's the Son of God because he came down to become a human being. Yeah, of course. So he came down to become a human being, you know. So then he's a son. Are you with me? But we understand from the Bible. Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So flip backwards in your Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You there? Okay, let's read verse 1-4. John chapter 1, verse 1-4. I found you already.
John chapter 1, verses 1-4. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not only one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you understand that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and he is God. So when Bible says God gave his one and only son, what Bible is telling you that? God so loved the world. Now let's explain what's the world. A world, you know, in the bondage of sin and darkness. That's the world. That he gave himself. Everything. You know, the best thing you can give to me is yourself. Think about it. Anything you have, yeah, loses meaning. Is anything you have is no longer yours when you die. You see what I mean? If you like, be Steve Jobs. Steve what? Jobs. Yeah? The owner of Apple. The moment you die, those things are no longer his. In fact, if he makes a mistake and he did not write a will, there will be what? War. Are you with me? Yeah? So, that means that everything we are only has a meaning because we are alive. You see what I mean? Yeah, so that means that the best thing you can give me is not just what you are, but yourself. If I have you, I have everything you have. I mean, like, if you're a very wise woman, if you have the heart of your husband, yeah, you have, you can turn it anywhere, yeah, but don't go that way, okay? Go the way of love, yeah, not the way of manipulation. You got me. If you give me yourself, you're giving me everything. And that's exactly what God did. He gave himself. God came down. You don't know. It's a mystery. You understand? It's a mystery. Because the Trinity is a mystery, that the God we serve is one. But it's in one in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, or I can say God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. And God came down. There is nothing else that God can give. Because he's already given everything. Hallelujah. 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 He said that whoever believes. So let me go to my questions. It's one of the secrets of why many people don't sleep in my sermons. And I observe, so over 4 years. Even when they are sleeping, I know how to wake them up. Yeah. Is that I ask questions. Ratim, you agree with me. You remember at the beginning you said, you know, even if you want to, you know that they will just get you. Yeah, I'm not saying you're sleeping. Yeah, I'm not saying. He's not sleeping, actually. He's not. First question. How can you experience God's love? We're talking about the love of God today. And we know the love of God is good. But on a personal level, how can you experience God's love? And the answers are in what everything we've read. How can you experience God's love? So the answer is just one word. You can give me, you know, it can be words that are similar to the answers. But don't give me more, don't give a statement, just give me one word. Give me one word that will help you to experience God's love. Yes? I'm looking for 3-4 answers.
Accepting it.
I can take 3-4 words, okay? Okay. Because this is English language, okay? You can describe the same thing with, yeah. So accept, by accepting it, yes? How can you experience God's love? Is that Luke, you want to try? Okay, Fernando.
Through worship.
Through worship, yes? How can you experience God's love on a personal level?
By singing.
By singing, yes? How can you experience God's love on a personal level?
Believing,
yes. Can we take anyone one more answer? Yes.
Applying His promises in your life.
Applying His promises in your life. All those are good answers. So again, remember, I only take the answer that I feel sums it all best. You know, and you see from John chapter 3, verse. Look at it, John chapter 3, verse 16. One of the most popular verses of our time. He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So that what? So that what? Whoever what? Believes. Whoever believes. In order to experience God's love, what do you have to do? You have to believe. But we should break it down. Because, you know, like many words have many meanings now. For example, I was talking with my son, you know, yesterday, and I was like, oh, you know, we saw, you know, this your friend at the open field, and he was like, oh, that was like ages ago. Ages, it was just last year. Yeah, it says ages. I said, but ages actually from the original meaning will mean like 1,000 years, okay? So, I mean, ages ago. So, words can change in their meaning, you understand? So, we say believe, but we can break belief down and say, by accepting it, the same thing. Hello? Believing is the same as accepting. So, let me explain this to you. When God speaks and you accept it wholeheartedly, you have believed. Hello? I said, anytime God speaks and you accept it with all your heart, that's what is called what? Believe. That's the meaning of believe. Believing is to accept. Hello? When God offers you something, He offers you salvation. How do you get saved? You accept. Hello? You accept. That's what it means to believe. You what? Accept it. So what is the opposite of believing? Rejecting what God has said. And you see why rejecting what God has said can be very sinful. Because when you reject what God has said, you have said that you are wiser than God. And to me, that's the unpardonable sin. Well, it's pardonable in this life, but if you die in that state, you have rejected God. You see the problem? When you don't accept what God offers, what have you done? You have rejected it. And once you reject it, there's no other solution. There's no other what? Solution. We got to accept. When we accept, we experience. Can you talk to your neighbor and say, when you accept, you experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you want to feel, you know, that God loves you? Maybe you're having a hard day, you know, and, you know, you're feeling so unloved. How do you feel God's love? Yes, so let's, same question, I'm just pushing it further. I'm feeling so unloved, I've had a hard day. How can I feel loved? I'm talking of God's love. I'm feeling so unloved, I've had a hard day, but at that moment I really want to feel God's love. What should I do?
Thank God.
Thank God, yes.
No.
I heard someone say pray.
Pray.
Yes. You are feeling so love, you've had a hard day, and at that moment you really want to experience God's love. And what can you do to experience God's love?
Being thankful.
Which is what Sister Lucky said. Yes? Yes? Any other person? Yes.
Worship.
Worship, yeah. I remember Fernando said worship the other day. Any other answer? The answers are correct. They're just, you know, little aspects of the full answer. The full answer is this. When you're feeling alone, even in that moment, you have to accept that God loves you. And then you have to say it. How? You thank Him. And say, thank you, Father, because you love me. Now, when you do that, and you do it again and again, you will feel loved. Hello, listen to that. I said you are in your worst moment. You are feeling so unloved, so disappointed, so isolated. But even in the midst of that, because the word of God has said that God loves you, even in that problem, you must accept that God loves you, and you must say it back to Him and thank Him. So, Father, I thank you because you love me. You may need to say it 10 times, but keep saying it. Keep saying it. Then you will indeed feel so loved. And this is a love that nobody can take away from you. Amen. So we experience God's love by accepting it. We experience God's love by believing. The same thing. We experience God's love through faith. Faith means believing or accepting. That's why the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. But let me break it down. What it means is that when you hear the word of God and you accept it, that's faith. Amen. Now, when you hear the word of God and you put it aside and keep your own opinion, that's not faith. You see what I mean? Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. Let me ask you more questions. We're talking about the love of God. We're trying to break it down. Okay, next question. This is very, very, very important question. What is the condition? I'm still reading from John chapter 3:14. All the answers are there. What is the condition for eternal life? If you want eternal life, what do you need to do? Sister Runge?
Believe.
Yes. If you want eternal life, Sister Chipo, you're looking too quiet. What do you need to do?
Believe and accept.
Believe. I like that. It's beautiful. Yes. Any other answer? Yeah. That's the condition. The condition is to believe and accept. Yeah? If you believe in Jesus and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you have what? Eternal life. It's so simple. I don't know how to push it forward. Yeah? Hallelujah. Please turn to your neighbor and say, do you believe? Do you believe? Ask them again, say, do you believe in Jesus? Okay, let's change the question. Thank you, Sister Jibo. Revelation, believe and accept. So turn them to you and say, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Hallelujah. Let's move on. You see, Pastor James has left, no problem. I have able people here. What does it mean to believe? So I'm still breaking down the question because I wanted to see different shades of meaning. We are saying that the condition for eternal life is to believe. The condition for experiencing God's love is what? To believe. But what does it mean to believe? Now I know what she's going to say, so let's air it.
No, I'm not answering it.
Yes? What does it mean to believe? You can repeat yourself. It's okay. Oh, but Tim has not said anything. So. When the Bible says, you know, whosoever believes shall not perish, but have a everlasting life. What does it mean to believe? So obviously, whosoever believes means this is something that man has to do. God cannot do that one for you. Yeah? God loves you, but you have to do the believing. God cannot believe for you. You have to do what? Believing. Not God. Are you listening to me? In fact, actually, I feel that you cannot also pray. You know, God can give you a gift of faith, but God cannot increase your faith. Yeah? Your faith is increased by believing his word. But your faith cannot be increased if you don't hear his word. The more of the word of God that you hear, the more faith you can have. If you have little faith, yeah, invest more time in hearing the word of God. Your faith will increase. You can't spend all your time doing all the other things, paying attention to God's word, and you think that your faith will be high. It's not going to happen. Are you listening to me? And you see, if you don't build up your faith, you are waiting for, you know, the rainy day. You will have little faith then. You build up your faith by hearing the word. And the more of God's word you hear, the more faith you will have. Are you with me? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. And that's why, like Brother Toby said, if we do not preach, people will not get saved. Because they need to hear. Are you listening to me? They need to hear. When they hear, then they can believe. Are you with me? Politicians practice this all the time. When there's election, they push out what? Propaganda. In fact, sometimes you may end up believing the wrong thing, depending on what you heard. If you hear the wrong thing for so long, you will believe it. Did you know that? So the Bible says, be careful how you hear. What's the question? What does it mean to believe?
To believe, you have to love and like. That's right.
To believe, you have to love and like. Yes, that's a good answer. I can see where that is coming from. Yes, what does it mean to believe? Yes. I was looking for you.
To acknowledge that Jesus has died for you to have freedom.
To acknowledge. To love. Let me just read the answer. It means to believe you have to respond back. Are you listening? Love demands response. Hello? I said love demands response. Even the giver of love, yeah, can never be fulfilled when there is no response. See what I mean? I come to your house and I give you... No, let's do it the other way. Yeah. You come to my house with a bowl of, you know, Namibian special, whatever. I don't know. What do you call it? Yeah. Yeah? Probably you spent all day cooking it. Yeah? You went to London to buy all the ingredients. And you bring this thing to me and you knock and you give me, oh, I've cooked it. I just did it. You give it to me. And I just look blank. You know? No thank you. No acknowledgement. No excitement. Nothing. How are you going to feel on the way back home? You're going to feel, sad is even a good word. Confused, angry. So people are angry. Yeah, you can feel so angry. Love demands response. So the main fact that God loves us means already that we must respond. Do you get what I mean? So believing is responding. Hello? Believing is what? Responding to God's love. We must respond. That's the way it works. This, as it works in natural, the same way it works in spiritual. We must respond. Let's go to James. Let's show that. Go to James chapter 2. So today I want to teach you very something very important about believing. I don't want you to forget it, because it affects you all the way. Any part of your life that you need a breakthrough, that you need a change, you need to move forward. You got to know. Everything happens by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you master the art of believing, you will master the art of overcoming. If you master the art of believing, there is nothing you cannot overcome. There is no mountain that cannot be moved. He said, if you have faith, as small as what? A mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be removed. No mountain. You know what a mountain is? Is any obstacle in your pathway in life. Or let's say it better. Anything that stops you from becoming what God wants you to be is an obstacle. Anything that life or people or the devil has placed on your path that stops you from completing your journey, yeah, to being who God wants you to be or what God has promised you in his word, yeah, For example, God has promised me healing. Anything trying to stop that is an obstacle. If God has promised me, deliverance, anything trying to stop, put me in bondage is what? An obstacle. If God has promised me that I will grow in the knowledge of God and in grace, anything that wants to stop me from growing in grace and knowledge of God is what? An obstacle. Okay? James chapter 2. Are you there? Someone else to read this now. James 2 from verse 14. So again, we're still talking about the love of God. I'm not changing the topic. You know, everything I say is in line with that topic. James chapter 2, verse 14. Yes. To 17. Someone like to read that? James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17.
Faith without good deeds is dead. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your action? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you do not give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless.
Amen. Now, I don't want us to have any confusion about this. It's very straightforward. What the Bible is saying there is contrasting between a living faith and a dead faith. So can we say it this way? Not all faith is the same. There is a dead faith. And there is what? A living faith. You can open your mouth and profess something, but it's not real because it's dead. You understand? How do I do this? You can find a young teenager, go on the street and meet a lady and say, I love you. But he may not really love her. He may just be trying to get something. Or maybe, someone goes to meet a rich man and say, oh, you are the best, you are the most wonderful human being I've ever met. He has opened his mouth and confessed that, isn't it? But he may not mean it. He's just trying to get something from him. Yeah? It's dead. It's a dead confession. It's a confession, but it's dead. You understand? There is living faith and there is dead faith. Dead faith cannot save. Whether in terms of salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, breakthrough, dead faith cannot save. Yeah? Faith without corresponding actions is dead. It means that if I believe in Jesus, it's not enough to talk the talk. I must what? Walk the walk. Now, I don't want to see it as a separation. It's not a separation. You understand? It's not a separation. If your faith is living, it will produce what? Corresponding actions. That's what I do. There's no separation between them at all. If your faith is alive, the actions will correspond. If there are no corresponding actions, it's talking about that your faith is not living. You understand? So, being saved is not to just make a confession once, yes, I believe in Jesus, just my Lord. And then you just walk away and do every other thing you want to do with your life. Yeah? Put God as far away as possible. You tell him, stay away. When I need you on Sunday, I'll put you on. When I finish, minimum interference. You understand? You put a signboard on your heart before God says, minimum what? So we are signing this deal. All I want to do is sign. I will sign that I believe, but minimum interference. Dead faith cannot save. Not just. Let's look at the word save as a bigger word. Don't just look at the word save as about maybe going to heaven or going to hell. Anything in your life that you desire as a heaven, that's I'm talking about your breakthrough, your progress, your moving forward, your deliverance from bondage, it's all heaven. You know, some people, if you go to a nice holiday or you go to a nice house and everything is cool, you say this feels like what? heaven. Are you with me? Anything that is like heaven, a dead faith cannot deliver it. Dead faith will not deliver your heaven. But whatever definition, it's a living faith. And what's a living faith? A faith that is matched with corresponding action. Not as if they were separate. You understand? Yeah? How do I say this? If I say to Aunt Sister Frida, I say, you know, I really, 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 really want to support you. I really, really, really want to, you know, make your farm the best farm in Basingstoke. Yeah? She has a farm. Nice farm, yeah. Yeah? And I say that over and over again. Yeah? If I don't match with any action, it's all what? Empty talk. You understand? It's a dead declaration. Are you with me? So what I'm trying to say is that believing is a continuous thing. That's what I'm going to tell you. Believing is a lifestyle. Believing is an identity. See, believing is not what you do. It's who you are. That's why I say you believe with your heart. See what I mean? You believe with your heart. And when you believe with your heart, it's got to produce action. Because everything we do starts from our heart. Yeah? So if you believe with your heart, that means it has become your identity. It has become your identity and it must produce fruit. Hallelujah. It must what? Produce fruit. And that's the kind of faith that saves. That's the kind of faith that delivers solution. That's the kind of faith that delivers breakthrough. Hallelujah. And while we're at it, let me just mention this. You know, talking about love, you know, we receive the love of God so that we can really give it back. Are you with me? He said, freely you have received, freely give. See, when you go to preach, you are giving back part of that love. But not just in preaching, amongst ourselves. He said, by this all men we know you are my disciples. If you what? Love one another. You understand? So, you know, you say you believe, and your brother is in trouble, and you close your eyes of compassion. You understand? You close your eyes of compassion, you don't care, you will not be bothered. All you care about is to see them on Sunday and shake hands with them. Yeah? That kind of faith cannot save. You understand? Faith must be matched by corresponding action. That's true faith. And it's the faith that saves, it's the faith that heals, it's the faith that delivers, it's the faith that sets free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask you one last question and we finish. So last question. I'm not going to offer any money now. Ah, yes. So let's say today is the star question of the day. Yes? There are two. Let me choose one. Finally, we're talking about the love of God. Yeah. And the first question, remember, anybody can tell me the first question? Do you remember? He said, how can you experience God's love? And the answer was by accepting what he offers, which means faith, which means believing. So last question is this. How can you remain in God's love? Now, think about the difference. How can you experience God's love? How can you remain in God's love? You can experience God's love as a one-off thing. You understand? You can be in a situation, you may not even be born again, and you reach out to God and, you know, you see him show up for you. You experience God's love at that moment. Yeah? But this next question is not about just experiencing, which can be just one-off. He said, how can you remain in God's love? See? Not just experience. So you experience God's love by faith. How can you remain in God's love? Don't tell me. Well, tell me whatever you want.
By constantly exercising that faith.
Yeah. By continuously exercising that faith. Yes? That's right. If it's totally correct, but I'm just looking for a word, but it's correct. It's correct.
Yeah, by applying the word of God.
By applying the word of God. That's totally correct. Absolutely. I mean, like, this is another way of describing this word I'm looking for. I'm looking for a word, but you've described it. Continuously exercising your faith by continually applying what?
The word of God.
The word of God. Yes.
John 15.
We didn't have any discussion. I don't even know what. I hope you won't miss it. John 15. Yes.
Verse 9.
John 15, verse 9.
I have loved you even as a father.
Wait. Let's wait for everyone. Because this is the climax. We are running up now. John 15, 9.
I have loved you even as a father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. So obeying God's commandments. Okay, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my father's commandments and remain in his love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the answer. The answer, how you remain in God's love, is one word. Obedience. But what I want to tell you, and if you look at obedience, by continuously exercise, the only way you can continuously exercise your faith is what? Obedience. The only way you can continue to apply God's word is what? Obedience. Now, what I want to tell you is that, yeah? For the believer, a true believer, there should be no difference between faith and obedience. Yeah? Faith is believing, obedience is corresponding actions to what you believe. See what I mean? Now, many times, listen to this, we are running up. If you are truly born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. Hello? If you are truly born again, if you have truly made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You know why I know? Because Jesus promised it. He said it. You understand? Now, you may not be baptized with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You may not be speaking in tongues, but you have the Holy Spirit in you because you have the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is what? The Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. You know why God put the Holy Spirit in you? Because as you walk your journey day after day, He will be giving you instruction. Little instruction. Little, gentle, little instruction. If you want to remain in God's love, learn to obey the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Rather than resisting the Holy Spirit. Now, never underestimate yourself. If you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. Hallelujah! You have the Spirit of Christ where? Living in you. Let me tell you something, and I'm rounding up. I tell you that the greatest problem of the Christian, yeah, is a lack of obedience. The reason is because everything you want to be, God can provide for. He can. His resource is infinite, isn't it? But all you just need is to obey what He's telling you to do. He has seen the end before you got here. You understand? You start the journey, but He has seen where you will finish. And He knows the best route for you to take. Yeah, and that's why He has given you the Holy Spirit. And when you obey, you will fast track your journey to your destination. Amen. And many times when we live in disobedience, we just keep going round and round and round and round the same cycle. You understand? Obedience. Okay? And He said, if you love me, what will you do? You obey my commandment. Let me explain this commandment so you don't get confused. This is the commandment. The commandment is the word of God that comes to you, whether from the Bible or from the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will never tell you anything against the word of God. If any spirit is telling you something that is against the Bible, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. It's not only. Are you with me? There are many spirits, but the Holy Spirit will not violate the Holy Bible. Are you with me? Every time you receive the word of God, yeah, accept it and obey what the Spirit is saying. That is the secret to your breakthrough. That is the secret to your deliverance. That is the secret to your transformation. That is the secret to your salvation. Hallelujah. You remain in His love by obedience. Hallelujah. And when we live a life of obedience, believe me, you know what will happen? First and foremost, you will have a lot of peace. Ah, peace is sweeter than ice cream. I'm telling you. In fact, I've not had ice cream for a long time. Peace is good. It's sweet. You know, when your peace is good. Have you ever had a time where the Holy Spirit is telling you, you know, go and say sorry. And you are resisting, and you're resisting. And then finally you went to say sorry. What peace comes to your heart? Or someone who offended you. And the Holy Spirit is saying, forgive, forgive. And you say, oh, no, I'm not forgiving, I'm not forgiving. And then finally you decide to forgive. What peace. You understand? Peace. Another thing you explain when you obey is joy. You know? Like, for example, in fact, not just every time I go out to preach, it's not that I don't feel shy sometimes. I do feel shy, like you and I, but that's why the Bible says, you know, you send them out two by two. Get somebody to go with you. It's always easier. You understand? It's always easier two by two. When you finish, you just feel joy. Or if you pray for people, what do? You feel joy. Hallelujah. And that is something that money cannot buy. Let me tell you something. If you are constantly in peace and joy, you will feel loved. I say, if you are constantly in peace and joy, you will feel loved. And then you will not need to be chasing the things of this world to make you feel good. Because once you have peace inside, yeah, and joy inside, that's what you are looking for. That's what every man is looking for. And the key is faith and obedience. Amen? Let's round up there. Can I give you one more question as we round up? So then, from John 3, what is the difference between somebody going to heaven and somebody going to hell? It's two words, which is one word. Faith and obedience. But it's the same thing. Do you understand? That word, difference. The person that exercises faith in Jesus and obeys, you know, what he is saying, is sure that he's on his way. The person that rejects Jesus has no hope. Are you with me? Let us pray. Let's pray.